I'm very grateful for those who were able to come tonight. I'm really enjoying your presence. And if somebody is visiting us tonight, we are really happy that you're here with us. We had a few visitors this morning, and I don't know, maybe you got to say hi to them, and I got to, and that was really joy to see having some visitors at this congregation at 9th and Main. And as I was talking to a news reporter last week, and she was asking me about my Christian life, and she was surprised that I told her that I became a Christian at a certain point. And she said, "Have you not always been a Christian?" And I said, "Well, we're all children of God by way of creation, but we become children of God when we obey the gospel." And she was surprised after that thought, that maybe something she hadn't thought about before. But I want to encourage you, if you have a chance to read the newspaper this coming Saturday, there should be an article regarding some of the work that the church here is doing, and hopefully you get to read it. I'm looking forward. I don't know how the pictures will turn out. There'll be some pictures there too, but the articles should be very good because it has nothing to do with our picture. But one of my favorite verses, it's found in Lamentations chapter 3. But don't go there yet. We'll get there in a little bit. But that's one of my favorite verses in Lamentations chapter 3. And you know, Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. And if you read the whole book of Lamentations, you'll see how Jeremiah is basically crying and weeping because of Judah's captivity. And he's very sorrowful because of the state in which Babylon had left the city. The temple destroyed, the walls and everything. And he's just really sad about this event. But in the middle of the book, you're going to find these words of hope. All around it is sorrow and crying, lamenting, and sometimes even complaining. But in the middle of the book, in chapter 3, and we'll get there before we finish the lesson, you're going to see a beautiful words of encouragement. And that's the part that I really like a lot. Of course, we benefit from all the scripture, but some of them, it's more appealing to us than another one. And especially when you read this portion. But if you want to go with me, please, to Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20. And that's what we're going to take up tonight. And as we read Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20, and I'm not going to stay there for too long, but I want to just draw a point. And as we're studying this lesson, we're going to see that there was a time when the 12 tribes of Israel were given their parts of the land. They conquered the land of Canaan, and it was time for them to receive their portion of land. And some of them, as we know, and we'll read about this in the book of Joshua, and then forward, even in other books, but in the book of Joshua especially, we read how they were given their lands, and we see two tribes and a half asked for a land, east of the Jordan. So they stayed in the other side of the Jordan, and the other tribes, the other nine and a half tribes, got their places on the west side of the Jordan, in Cana proper. So these are the tribes, Gad, Reuben, and half tribe of Manasseh stayed on the east. But then look at this other list. On the west of the Jordan, we have Judah, the other half of Manasseh, we have Ephraim, we have Benjamin, Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. If you remember your tribes from maybe VBS, or some other class. Is there a tribe they're missing? Do you might think? You might already know which tribe is missing. There's a tribe they're missing on that list. And I'm sure the majority of you might know, but for the benefit of those who were caught off guard, which tribe is missing there? And yes, you might have the answer. Notice with me Numbers 18 and verse 20. Let me just turn to the right verse, Numbers 18 and verse 20. You might be already there. Notice, then the Lord said to Aaron. Notice, Aaron was from the tribe. Which tribe was Aaron from? He was a Levite, okay? And then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in the land. All the land has been already divided. All the land has been given to the other tribes, to your sister tribes. But nor should you have a portion among them. Notice the word portion. Why not? Because I am your portion. I am your inheritance among the children of Israel. You're going to get the better portion. You're going to get the better part. You're going to get me. You're going to be, not only am I going to be your portion, you are going to be my special portion. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Are we not sometimes worried about, in this earth, about material possessions, about owning things and so on and so forth? But we know that as Christians, we also have our portion. And as Christians, we can with confidence, we can say and declare and confess that the Lord is my portion too. Because when this earth is done, when we don't have any other place where to live, where to dwell, there's going to be one portion for us. The one that has always been our portion. Or which is our Lord, our God. And this word portion, it means, in the literal sense, it means a share of possession. Like a piece of land. A portion of land. That's what it means in this context, as we're reading in Numbers. There was a man by the name Jim Elliot. And he made a quote that I always like to mention sometimes, so keep in mind. But he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I hope that I said it correctly, but let me say it again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And if we give away anything in this earth to gain that which we cannot lose, which is our portion, the Lord, we're the smartest people in the world. We're making a good trade. We're making a good decision. And let me, as we move on in the lesson, let me tell you, what does it mean to say the Lord is my portion? I'm going to give you a few answers to this, a few responses. What does it mean to say the Lord is my portion? On the first place, let me tell you that to say the Lord is my portion, it means that God sustains me. God is my sustainer. God sustains me. Notice Psalm 16 and verse 5. O Lord, you are my portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. You are the one who maintains my lot. This word maintain means to take hold of. You are the one that takes hold of me, everything I am. You take hold of myself. You sustain me. And if it wasn't for God being our portion, we wouldn't be able to be sustained the way only God can sustain us. When thinking about wisdom in Proverbs 3:8, just chapter 3 of Proverbs, you don't have to look it up. I'm going to just read it to you. But when talking about wisdom, how Solomon encourages in his writings that we take that wisdom. Let me tell you what he says in that verse. Let me just get there real quick. Proverbs chapter 3. In the same chapter where he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Now moving forward in chapter 3, now in verse 13, he's talking about wisdom now. Notice he says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than that of fine gold." And then I move to verse 18. "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, to make her her own, to say, "Wisdom, I'm going to hold on to wisdom, the same way I'm going to hold on to God because he is my portion." And then as wisdom is related to God, divine wisdom, we're holding on to God in this way. And that's the same way he holds on to us, as being our sustainer. We remember Jacob as he was traveling, as he was marching, being a sojourner. The Lord told them in Genesis 28:15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken about you. I will not leave you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to be with you wherever you go, and I'm going to hold on to you because you have faith in me. You are my son, and I have made promises to you. This is something I was told to Jacob. And now something I want to do in this lesson, I've been asked for several members about how the trip to Mexico went. And I really appreciate you interested in this, and I feel like I've not given a fair explanation of what we did, but I have a few pictures as we go in the lesson I'm going to be showing you relating to what we're studying, and I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can, but I hope you enjoy these pictures as a way of a report of the work that is being taking place in the city of Palenque in southern Mexico. But talking about God giving strength, let me show you this picture. That's Brother Javier, and that's Brother Josue. That's the radio station I was talking to you about this morning. This is in the city of Palenque, and they have programs there every Saturday at 7 and every Sunday at 6. 2 hours on Saturday, 2 hours on Sunday. And then when the radio program began, there was a lot of, since they have access to internet and the smartphones, people would just send questions and comments, and they would just ask a lot of Bible questions and make a lot of comments, and then we have to drop the lesson to answer those Bible questions right on the radio. So that's part of the work we did. Those two brothers are from Monterey. They made the trip, and they were able to speak. We were able to speak at the radio, and that's where they are. Now this is another view of the facilities. Of the radio station. We set up a table. There were several of us, and there are several microphones, at least 3 or 4 microphones. And what we did was not only just one speaking, but take a topic, and then we all speak around the table. And people like that. They listen to that type of program, so they like it, and they send text messages and so on. In fact, a few members have come to church through these efforts. Okay, so that's something we got to do, and just a couple of pictures. But the Lord strengthened us in the work we do. Even if it's here in San Angelo, or if I got the opportunity to go to Palenque, the city of Palenque, the Lord gives us our strength wherever we go, and He sustains us. I think I just went ahead, but He sustains us wherever we go. But notice the second point, and I already mentioned that word, but notice not only the Lord is my portion means that the Lord sustains us, but also, like I just mentioned, in second place, it means that the Lord strengthens us. Notice this Bible verse on the screen, Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh can be weak. My flesh can fail. My heart even can feel sad at times, can feel discouraged at times. But where do we get our strength? Our strength comes from the Word of God. Our strength comes from the Bible, from God Himself. So God is the one who strengthens us. And this definition, I like to look at definition of words. The word, this Hebrew word that is used for strength, literally means rocky ground. What a beautiful definition of this word strength. It broadens our understanding of what this word means. It's a rocky ground. It gives you strength, standing on a rock, solid ground. Like we remember, for instance, when Moses was told to speak and to hit the rock the first time. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it with the people, where the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. What a beautiful example of how the people of Israel are traveling in the desert. They're feeling thirsty. Animals are dying. They're feeling thirsty too. And then here's a big rock. And then Moses is instructed, hit the rock. This is where the strength is going to come out of. From the rock. From the solid rock. And then Deuteronomy 8:15. Who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where fire was no, or there was no water, who brought water for you from the rock, from the strength. Gave you strength from a solid rock. And the Lord also, the Lord is my portion, means that the Lord strengthens us. He is our solid ground. He is our solid rock, which gives us that energy, that strength that we have. Now, going back to the illustration on the trip to Palenque, I have another picture here that I want to show you. This is on the road to another radio station, which is in another town called Madero. And in that town, Josué and Javier, they came from Monterrey, and they're standing at the sign, and I don't know if you ever heard of the Zapatist movement, which is a type of guerrilla group, and that's a sign where they're standing where it says, you're about to enter a Zapatist territory. And if you read carefully the descriptions, it reads, here the people give commandments, and the government obeys those commandments. That's what the sign says. So it used to be a really hot place to go once in a while. It's not anymore any longer, but there's a lot of people that every so often uprise. They block the streets, and it's always movement there with the farmers who don't feel like they're being cheated somehow by the politicians and so on. So that's where they're standing. That's on the way to the radio station, and then we got to the radio station. That's another radio station. In another town, and the audience is mostly dialect speaking. So a lot of them, most of them speak a dialect in that part of Chiapas, and but they also understand Spanish. Sometimes the preacher there translates for us, and sometimes we only speak in Spanish. Depends on who is there for the radio program. That's Adán. That's another one of the ministers there in Palenque. He's there with Javier. He's a preacher from Monterrey too, like I mentioned, you've seen him, and that's Adán. He came about 2 years ago to work in Palenque, and they're there about to start the radio program. By the way, in some of the uprisings, they came into that station, and they took the radio conductor, and they carried him out of the facilities, and they hit the computers and so on, because once in a while there's uprisings like that in that part, that section of the town. So, nevertheless, the Lord gives us strength to do our work, to go where we need to go, to preach the gospel. People benefit from this program. They come and get free Bibles and so on, and we've been able to get different Bible studies through this program. Okay? And now, going back to Palenque, there was a seminar going on for 3 days, a conference, rather, and the main topic was worship according to the biblical pattern or the biblical design. And that's what Josué there speaking. He's speaking on the biblical design of worship, and you see him wearing a tie. It's one of the few times you see him wearing a tie. He doesn't like ties, so he was really kind enough to wear a tie for that lesson. So there he is, and well, that's a really handsome gentleman there, and that's again Javier. Okay, he's speaking on the biblical pattern or biblical design of preaching, and then as you know, preaching has just taken different paths. Something preaching is just entertaining and so on. And then Javier brought a wonderful lesson on how was preaching done in the patriarchal age, how preaching was done in the Mosaic age, and how preaching was done in the Christian age, or is done in the Christian age. So that's Javier speaking. And he does like to wear ties very often, so that's no problem. He's there. Okay? And that's a general view of the auditorium, which the brethren have there. That's from the back all the way to the front. And we had a good amount of visitors for the conferences. And that's just a general view. That's another one of the speakers. That's Brother Robbie Eversole. We met him. Well, I didn't meet him, but another brother met him at Polishing the Pulpit. And he was giving lessons on anti-ism. So we brought him over, and he spoke several times, and I was there translating for him. That's me next to him translating from English into Spanish. And he taught 8 lessons. So that was 8 lessons to translate. And he spoke really quick, and I told him, please do not say any slang words or do not say any jokes in English, because it's hard for me to translate those. So he was really kind with me, and I didn't say any of those. He likes speaking slang very much. Okay? Now, not only does the Lord sustain us and strengthen us to do our work, but notice on the third place, the Lord is my portion means that Lord, that God satisfies me. He satisfies me. And it, listen, read this verse, please. Psalms 119, verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep your word. Keeping the word of God satisfies the Christian. It's no greater blessing for the Christian than to keep the word of God, which satisfies our God, but also satisfies us when we do things according to the word of God. And I was going to tell you at the beginning, it is just wonderful to be a Christian. When this lady asked me when I became a Christian and so on, we got in this conversation, I got to think, I never thought all the blessings and all the benefits I will receive just for being a Christian. I was, when I became a Christian, being forgiven of my sins and being added to the church, that's just the best blessing one can have. But a lot of blessings come after that, as I'm sure you have experienced on your Christian life. And just keeping the word of God just brings satisfaction from every side, from God's standpoint and from our own standpoint. So this is what it means to say that the Lord is my portion, that God satisfies us because we keep, we watch, we obey God's commandments, and that brings benefit to us. That's why he says, honor your father and mother, that your life may be long on this earth, and it will be well with you, because you're going to be satisfied with what you're doing, and then you're going to receive a lot of blessings from it. And that's the way God manages commandments to the Christians. Now, speaking of being satisfied, there's a lot of blessings that come to the Christian, and I'm going to show you some of them, because we get to enjoy the Christian life in a beautiful way. You're not going to see you're not going to see Christians sad all the time. And when we go, especially to these kinds of trips, we get to fellowship with our fellow brethren. We get to meet new brothers and sisters, and that's just a satisfaction. Remember where you want to think about it. Notice, I'm going to show you more pictures of this trip. That's Josue, Javier, and I, and we're in some of the waterfalls there in close to Palenque. That part of Mexico, compared to Monterrey, it's just full of water. There's water everywhere. It's not a matter of whether the river will be flowing or not. It's just a matter of when you want to go to the river or when you want to go to the lake or anything. It's just water all year long and abundantly water. In Monterrey in the north, it's kind of different. There's no water all year long. It's certain types, and we depend on rain mostly. But they just water all the time. That's always enjoying that visit to the that lake. And that's, hope you can tell who that is, but that's not me. That's Josue taking a jump into the water. Okay? And he's enjoying himself there, jumping into the water. And that's Adan and Josue again in one. That's about maybe 10 miles from Palenque. It's just a waterfall. It's always flowing, always abounding in water. And that place with the waterfalls is just very deep. Really deep, and you can go behind the waterfall, and that's us enjoying being Christian, enjoying fellowship, enjoying this satisfaction that we receive from obeying the Lord's commandment. This is a beautiful Christian life, and that's us over there. Okay? And another thing, before I move on, we got also, that's our fellowship, and as you can see, you see three persons, and you see three cakes. And you say, what is this? Well, it's a triple birthday celebration. And three of them had birthdays. Daisy, the little girl in the middle, that was her birthday that day. And so we had a lot of fun. And as it is the tradition in Mexico, you might not know, but it's a tradition. You might be wondering, why are they sitting in front of the cake? Each one a cake, each one sitting in front of a cake. Well, you might know, you might not know, but this is what they do. They have to take a bite. And that's the tradition. You take a bite. And if no one's behind you, then you can take a small bite. But if your friends, your buddies are behind you, you might end up with half of the cake in your face before you know it. So that's a tradition. And And that's just enjoying this satisfaction that being a Christian brings. Okay, now moving on, because the time is moving on to you. Okay, what does it mean that the Lord is my portion? Also, in the fourth place, the Lord is my portion means that God secures me. God gives me security. And when we think about mission trips, for example, and talking about this in the background, traveling, I don't know, when I was in college, I would love to just travel anywhere, anytime, and just won't be back home until maybe one week, a year or so, just traveling around. Now when I'm married and have children and it's just harder to travel. It gets just harder every time. I don't know why, but having a family, it just is different. You miss them a lot. You want to be back and see them. You want to spend time with them. And then you start thinking about security issues. Would it be secure to travel so far away? Would it be safe to do so? And just these things come to mind. But I can tell you, and I'm sure you can too, we cannot complain. God has brought us back from our trips. And we always pray for those who travel. And as they're traveling even this weekend, some of our brothers and sisters, and we pray and we are confident by faith that they will be back safe and sound. So the Lord secures us. He secures me. That's why He's my portion. Notice Psalm 142 and verse 5. Notice what it says. I cried out to you, O Lord. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. This word refuge means a place of refuge, a place you can hide. And the Lord protects us in His hand. He hides us in His hand. He protects us wherever we go. And then we're saved with Him. Now, to make this trip to Palenque, to South Mexico, I had to drive all the way to Monterrey, which is two and a half hours to the Rio, and then plus five more to Monterrey. That's 7.5 hours driving. And then in Monterrey, we took a plane, and that's Javier outside, getting ready to board the plane. And that's an hour and a half, flight from Monterrey to Villahermosa, southern Mexico. And then from Villahermosa, we still have 2.5 hour ride, to get to Palenque, because Villahermosa is in another state, but it's very close to Chiapas. So that's us about to board the plane, very excited and anxious. And then that's us when we landed in Villahermosa. That's the church van, and that's Adam coming to pick us up. And by the way, Brother Bobby and Brother Wade, they arrived in a different airplane on another day, on Sunday. That was a Friday night when we arrived to Villahermosa. So that's us being enjoying and being grateful for God protecting us on our trip. And that part of Mexico, you might have heard that north is being dangerous and so on, and I agree, but south is just different. It's just very calm, and there's nothing of that going on. We enjoy being there very much. It's a lot of safety. And now that's us. You notice we are most of us still have light, and then we get to Palenque, it's already dark, because that was about almost a 3-hour trip. And there's us standing on the welcoming sign of the city of Palenque in Chiapas. And we're really happy. And we're very proud that the Lord has been taking care of us along our trip. And all of us have families. Josue has 2 children. Javier has 3 daughters. And I have 2 sons. There's not a night that I don't pray that I will see them again. There's not a night that I don't pray that God, please take me back safely. Take me back home safely so I can see them again. See Nancy, see my children, and so are they. And that's the Lord taking care of us while we're doing the work of the Lord. Okay, and then that might be the last picture on that slide. Okay, and last, number 5, before time runs out, and I think we're still good on time. The Lord is my portion. What does it mean? Okay, it also means that God saves me. When I say the Lord is my portion, I'm saying also that God saves me. Notice, and now I'm getting to my favorite verse in Lamentations. Notice, Lamentations 3:24. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The mercies of the Lord have kept us where we are at the moment. And then Jeremiah realizes everything has fallen down in Judah. We have been taken captive. The city has been taken captive. There's children wandering on the street without parents. There's mothers looking for their children. And we're crying. We're lamenting what happened to Judah. But you know what? We're not dead. We're not all dead. The Lord has kept us alive. Most of them are captive. They're still alive. They're captive. They're alive. Sometimes they will come back. 70 years after they were captive, they came back. And then those who remained in Jerusalem, in Judah, and Jeremiah being one of them, he encourages them that the mercies, because of the mercies of the Lord, we have not been consumed. We've been taken captive, but we have not been consumed because of his compassion. Never fail. Because they are new every morning. Every morning we have a new opportunity. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we mess up. And then we regret what we did that day. But you know what? A new day comes. And with it comes new mercy. A new opportunity to make things better. And always an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. And if we ask for forgiveness for offending a brother or sister, that same day, you know what? We're going to start a new day with a new mercy, with a new opportunity. Because the last part, notice, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. Saying that the Lord is my portion means that God saves me. And then going back to the story, I've been telling you parallel to this. If you notice, that's one of the views from the pulpit towards the auditorium. One of the nights, I don't remember which night that was. It might have been the last night of the meeting. But if you notice, there's three little guys, young guys, sitting in the very front. One of them is Christian. He's a Christian. His name is Pedro, and he's actually thinking about going to school of preaching in Monterey, and he's just waiting to finish his high school degree so he can apply to see if he can go. But notice there's two other gentlemen sitting next to him. One of them is Joel, the other one is Hector. Okay, these two are not Christians. But notice they're listening, they're attentive to the lessons, they're paying attention, they're sitting right in the front. So when that lesson was finished, Javier and Josue had the opportunity to sit with them and discuss further about obeying God, obeying the gospel. And they had a time to sit together and study and further answer their questions. And that night, they decided to obey the gospel. Those two young men, which have been at the congregation for several years already. And now what happens, the camera might not be really good there, but you see that's in the river. That's one of the rivers there, and that's Josue in there with Joel, and then that's the rest of us are outside the water, but the water is very cold. But I mean that doesn't matter. They're there, and they want to obey Christ. So that's Joel being baptized, being saved, because the Lord is his portion now. And now it's another picture. This is Javier. He's taking the confession of Hector. Okay. Hector's parents came through the efforts of a door-knocking campaign, on a summer campaign. We don't know the door of his parents. They began to study, and then they decided to obey the gospel, Hector's parents. And they've been faithful members ever since, and very active members. In fact, Hector's mother was one of the cooks very involved in cooking and helping in the kitchen throughout this week. And so that they were very happy. They were both in tears, very excited about Hector being baptized. And that's Javier took the confession both of them, and then Josue dipped them into the water. And that's the rest of us. That's a little bit of we were in the darkness, basically. And then some of the cell phones used as lamps, and some of the witnesses of those baptisms were there outside on the shore of the river. So we've been witnessing them how this campaign went, and we see how the Lord has sustained us in our Christian life. Not only in this campaign, but this is just an example. But you know that God, if you call God my portion, God is your sustainer. Also, God is the one who gives you strength. Not only that, we've seen that if we call God our portion, my portion, God is the one who satisfies us, and God is the one who secures us. And lastly, we've seen, number five, that God saves us. So the Lord, our God, surely is our portion, is our part, is our inheritance. When this world is over, we're going to cling to this inheritance. Now, my question is, before I get off the pulpit, is God your portion already? Have you left clinging to God as your portion? Do you take Him as your portion just anytime you're in need or anytime it's more convenient for you? Or do you hold to Him no matter what? In sorrow, in happiness, in laughter, do you hold on to God in any time in your life? Well, that's my encouragement tonight, that you hold on to God every time in your life. If you're a Christian, God is your portion. But don't let go of Him. Be faithful, even until death, like the book of Revelation says. Now, if you're not a Christian, then you need to think about making God your portion, making God your inheritance. Because when this world is over, who are you hold on to after this world is over? You won't have any inheritance in heaven. Because Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am, you cannot go where I am. So you need to believe. And then if you don't, whoever confesses me before men, him will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And he who denies me before men, him whom will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And not only that, but he said also, if you don't repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then lastly, he also said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who doesn't believe will be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. I hope you can answer. If you have in any way or shape need to respond, please do so tonight as you have the opportunity tonight. Thank you so much for your attendance. And please do so as we stand and as we sing.